Yes, sir. I can hear you. Yes, I kind of like the Twitter music. I don't know.
The standard elevator music.
Yes, it's like boopy boppy and cute. It's like a little like a idle farmer game or something. Oh my gosh, we have Trev.
And we've got Terra Spaces in. Nice.
Oh, let's go. Terra Spaces. Who do we got in today? I guess you can't really respond with emoji, but you are free to request if you would like.
GM.
GM. BM.
Depending on if you're looking at the charts, for some people, it might be a BM. But, you know, hoping that everyone survived and wasn't a late longer on high leverage. Unlike me. No, I'm kidding. No,
oh, yeah.
No.
How are the charts looking?
It was like, I don't know, like $1 billion wiped out in open interest in like a 1 hour candle or something. I don't know. I'm on the 1 hour. No, never mind. Five minutes.
I don't know. I'm looking at ETH and it's like just popped up to 2K in the last like 5 minutes.
Yeah. I think there's been a little bit of recovery.
Are we back? Is that where we're at?
We never left, man. We've got Stockholm syndrome from this industry. We're never going.
Crypto's like an abusive girlfriend or boyfriend. We just keep coming back for more.
And we can fix it. I promise.
I hate that all of this is kind of true.
Building in crypto is fun, man. It feels, I don't know, like, I feel like saying that it feels special feels kind of like sounds kind of cheesy, but it is what it is. Like it really is special.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to be, the requirement is you have to be crazy or stupid to be building in this space, you know, realistically. Otherwise we all have jobs. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it depends on where you're at in life.
I don't know. I feel like crazy and weird and philosophical people are some of the most interesting ones in life. And like,
100%.
I think the space really has that, like that's what the culture is. And I really like it because it just brings all of the, like the interesting people together. There's not like really uninteresting people in this space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to be utterly insane to believe that you can move the needle.
Boys, just wait until the bull market. We're gonna get all the no, I'm kidding. All of our exit liquidity is coming in there. I'm not gonna talk smack right now. I'm kidding. They're not exit liquidity. They are new community members and very valuable to the space.
For the culture, then.
For the culture. All right. Just going to give a quick rundown. We're about 4 minutes in. Just wanted to give a little bit of space so that anyone who wants to join can join. We can amplify it a little bit. I should probably send this out to some Telegram groups.
Yeah, you're competing with POTUS right now.
With POTUS? It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, plenty of overlap. I don't know.
Infinite amounts. He's old, I'm old. It works out. But yeah, kind of the rundown.
Like 5 times your age.
Yeah, that's actually not wrong. It might be 5 times the age of America as a whole. But kind of what we're going to be talking about today is at Abstract, we just recently dropped our governance proposal for Osmosis. That tweet is going live right now. And we will pin that. And It'd be nice if we could have some votes, which would be awesome. But we, you know, we'll show that part in a minute, and we'll get a little bit more into those details. The other stuff that we kind of want to talk about is kind of following the same theme as what we've gone over the last couple of weeks of general product building. You know, as bullish as we feel right now, because you know some of our bags are up like 2-3x from the lows, maybe more. You know, at the end of the day, in terms of the mania phase where we're actually going to have real people showing up and, you know, maybe they were here in 2021 when they were bored during the pandemic and lockdown and tried playing around with crypto, got rugged a few times. Maybe they're going to say, maybe this time's different, and they'll show up and try to use some on-chain products. And the worst thing that we can do as an industry is give them the exact same products that they had last time around. So we're kind of going to be diving into that again a little bit, getting into some updates from the abstract side of things and trying to figure out, you know, how we can kind of go about doing things. And since we've got a relatively small group, if it grows, it grows. If not, that's fine too. Anyone who wants to speak anytime, request to speak and show up. Let's have a chat. I guess let's kick it off with the Osmosis piece. Adair, can you fill us in on what's going on? How things are kind of panning out on that side. What is this proposal about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got an exciting few months ahead of us. We've put our proposal up on Osmosis mainnet to deploy all of Abstract's infrastructure. Thank you, Sal, for pinning the tweet. And what this means is that people will be able to build DeFi apps on Osmosis on top of Osmosis DEX that are compatible with every single chain in Cosmos. And so like that's kind of the general topic of this call is interchain DeFi and what that means to build an interchain application. And so on Osmosis, we will be deploying our name service, which means that you'll be able to resolve the names of assets, of contracts, of the pools, and also of other chains, which means that you as an app developer have a really easy time interacting with all of these DeFi pools. And then as a user, you actually don't have to care when you're sending your assets to another chain. You don't have to care about the channels or any of the IBC stuff. And now with that being said, on Osmosis, they probably have the best interchain UX that there is. And so like these improvements are mostly going to be felt by the developers. However, in addition to the name service, we also are deploying our package registry, which means that there's going to be a curated selection of contracts and of modules for applications for users to use and for developers to build upon. And now some of those applications that are going to be coming to Osmosis first, we'll probably go over a little bit later. But this is really expanding the interchain application design space, and we're just really excited. So,
dope. One of the things that Trevor and I kind of talk about occasionally is, new app chain launched. Guess what the first product is? And for some reason, we always bet on DEX, and we're always correct. So no one's ever won money from the other person. Does this kind of mitigate that risk a little bit of having the same old thing be run through the gamut over and over?
Oh, absolutely. Like the thing is, we see the same exact primitives being deployed on every chain. They're hyped up like to no end. And it's a huge selling point. And so like, why not have all of the applications come along with it? So every abstract application will, like, let's say that they're building on a DEX as a primitive, as you should be, because it's like, it's a DeFi building block. You can bring your application to any new chain in Cosmos, and it's like essentially like DeFi in a box, maybe.
So DIB, or DIBS, as I've heard you call it before.
DIBS,
DIBS, DeFi in a box, yeah. So when we're talking about DeFi in a box, I think it comes across in two different ways to do two different groups of people, right? Like when we're talking about developers, I'm going to let you expand on that a little bit, what that means for them, DeFi in a box, what it means for them to get to market a little bit faster, maybe become a little bit more competitive within this rapidly growing space. And for consumers, I'd like to kind of explore what DeFi in a box means for them, because chances are your average consumer is probably not really interested in building. They're looking to kind of leverage their the little time that they have in order to maximize their capital, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose if we start on the consumer side, DeFi in a box really just means personalized DeFi. And that means that users are able to play with advanced DeFi applications and self-host their own liquidity. They can, for example, like 42, they're building auto compounders on Osmosis, and they're building auto compounders on Kujira. And, you know, if you're a user, like let's say that you're an advanced DeFi user, you've got a lot of liquidity. You don't want to pool that liquidity in public vaults. So you can actually choose to host 42's auto compounder on your own account. And it's like self-hosted liquidity. So you're creating the auto compounder, you're owning that infrastructure, and you're running it on your account, you're compounding it, and you're not put at risk of 42 upgrading their contract and siphoning out liquidity, whether it be purposeful or on accident. And what else this means is that you can have a lot more social DeFi applications. And that's, I'm really excited about social DeFi, because like, I think this is going to bridge the gap from DeFi to SocialFi. But like, you know, there's a, one of the base modules on Abstract is an ETF module. Sorry, Gary, I didn't mean to startle you there. I mean a portfolio module. And so like this portfolio module will allow you to curate its selection of assets as a trader, and other people will be able to come and deposit into this portfolio, and they'll be able to receive shares representing their stake in this. And so we can have more, you know, socialized DeFi, and that means that you as a Twitter Twitter degen can share your portfolio with the world. And, you know, you're always there trading. And so other people may be interested in investing in you, and you could build up that reputation, build up some liquidity, and just have a lot more fun with your DeFi activities. People talk about, oh, this is going to expose my activities, but it's kind of dumb because everything's public already. Like you're already doxxed. Just don't worry about it. Private DeFi will come sooner rather than later, or sooner or later. So.
Cool. So you just mentioned reputation. So I guess first question is, that reputation is going to live on chain? And if it does, holy crap. And how does that look, right? The other side of that is, I think I agree with you when it comes down to the social DeFi aspect of things, where like you've already got the majority of like high follower Twitter accounts on crypto Twitter, like most of them are basically shilling their bags, right? Like for better or worse, that's what they're doing. And being able to allow people to kind of see, like, you know, put your money where your mouth is. There's also a lot of really, really valuable like researchers who spend hundreds of hours every single month, you know, looking at what's up and coming. They launch newsletters, they release a lot of really good you know, Twitter threads for free. And a lot of people sometimes look at it, sometimes don't really pay attention, don't really care. But those people, they'd be able to kind of create these vaults and essentially take P&L shots over the last 7 days to be able to show, hey, you know, I'm like, my rate of return is pretty bonkers. Like go toss your money in. And essentially it's like a pump my bags, but the earlier you show up, the better it is. And everyone kind of wins, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It just makes it a little bit more fun. And yeah, you mentioned something about putting your money where your mouth is. All these, you know, crypto traders, they have no way of sharing their portfolios. All they can do is like create a portfolio on CoinMarketCap and be like, yeah, this is what I got. But, you know, since this is DeFi, Osmosis, Kujira, you know, WinDAO, WinDeck, Astroport, AstroVault, like, why not put your money where your mouth is and, you know, allow your followers to invest with you? Like you're not going to be incentivized to rug them, because it'll dash your reputation, and this will make your community trust you a lot more. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I kind of want to know a little bit more about the reputation piece though. Like, does that live on chain? Is that an off-chain component? What's going on?
It's actually, you know, if you think about what reputation is, Actually, let's talk about what reputation is. Reputation is really just a history of the actions that you've done, which is why blockchain is touted as a perfect use case or perfect building block. What, no, perfect use case for reputation systems, because you only attain a reputation in a social context. In a vacuum, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, there's no one there to see you, that you have no observers. And so that reputation doesn't really exist. But on chain, like, your reputation is just a history of your actions. And so your account can accrue these reputations, and these can be tokenized even. So you could bet on whether someone is going to do a certain action. And people think that reputation is like this revolutionary new concept, but it's not. It's something that we've already have. No one's packaged it.
All right, dope. And just as an aside, we're 15 minutes in. We have the Dr. Strangelove in the house, as well as Mike Purvis. Thank you guys. Thank you, Mike, for showing back up. First time viewer or listener, rather, Dr. Strangelove. Thank you for coming in. The reputation piece is dope, and I think that really helps. One of the things that I think, when I really started first kind of showing up on chain, was around DeFi summer. I think that that's something that a lot of people can kind of relate to, because that was really the first like time that, you know, crypto got super, super exciting. But, you know, during 2021, 2020-ish, you know, like, my brother's a banker. Even when I talk to him, he's like, dude, I don't want to figure all of this stuff out. I don't know what a block explorer is. Like, you're not speaking English right now. And a lot of newbies don't really want to hear about a lot of like the learning curve. They just want to be able to take, you know, the money that they have, and they want to be able to chuck it somewhere where, you know, hopefully they can make a little bit of capital out of it. I guess, like, when it comes down to like an easy to understand reputation list, where it's like, hey, this person's highly reputable and they have a couple of vaults that they're willing to buy into, it probably makes it a lot easier for them to engage in DeFi rather than having to go and sift through hundreds and hundreds of different scam links and different protocols where they're going to get rugged over and over and then come out calling crypto a scam. Is that kind of the idea behind why you guys are doing this?
Behind the reason why we're baking it into the platform is, yeah, it's to establish a better alignment between the users and the normal consumer and the DeFi user. I mean, like, Abstract's entire goal is to align the devs and the users, as I believe is Strangelove, who have just accepted or like have just come up to speak. So welcome, Strangelove. But yeah, like, the reputation, thanks. It just allows for a trusted platform. And who do we have at Strangelove here?
This Jack.
Oh, what's up, Jack? I've been, actually,
shout out. Was,
yeah, yo, are you in Lisbon?
I wish. No, I'm stuck here in California. All boring.
Oh man. Well, I'm gonna come visit you in California.
You should. It's pretty cool. Anyway, thanks for having me. I've been enjoying the feature here, and yeah, just excited to hear more about the Abstract, what you guys have coming up and what you're working on.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have any specific questions? So I guess we, before you came on, we talked about, like, we just put up our proposal on Osmosis to get all of Abstract's infrastructure uploaded, and the Kujira one, you know, a little bit of alpha here, the Kujira one is coming next week. So do you have anything specific you're looking for, or just like a general update?
You know, I think this world of multi-chain applications is like the most exciting thing happening in Cosmos. It's really far out of the discussion, honestly. Like, I don't think folks are really ready for it. But during this bull market, if this is what we're in, you know, and it's going to go for a while, I think that towards the middle to the end of the bull market, people are going to get really excited about interchain applications. And it's one of the areas that's going to experience explosive growth. And I think the reason for that is it's something that is not possible on any other chain right now. you know, even on Solana, we see fee spikes. And I think that right now doing a single atomic execution environment is not the right way. And that the Cosmos architecture has a strong advantage over anything else out there. And like, this is why we've kind of continued to build in this space. And I think that the stuff that you guys are doing where you're, you know, what did you call it? You said we're going to deploy our contracts on our what on Osmosis?
Infrastructure.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you've got your infrastructure and you deploy your infrastructure on a few chains, but the application doesn't live on any particular one and the whole thing's on chain. And, you know, I was thinking about this back in like 2019, 2020 when we were building IBC, and I was like, this is going to be the real fucking dope. And it's taken us a while to get there. But back then, and even today, when I talk to people in the Ethereum ecosystem, like, this just doesn't compute for them. And whenever I see something that's really obvious that a lot of people struggle to get immediately because of their priors or their bags or whatever it is, that's when I think, like, wow, that's going to be a big, big thing. So, you know, I think the abstract folks, you guys have done a lot of the most exciting work in that space. So I was just jumping by to say hey and check in.
Yeah, definitely. Like the interchain applications, as you mentioned, like people aren't talking about it because we haven't run into the same problems that we've run into in every other bull market yet. Like people kind of forget that this infrastructure isn't scalable. And we're going to run into the same problems over and over again, which is why like the interchain is a huge component in building truly decentralized and truly scalable applications. And so what I guess our question to you would be, what kind of interchain applications would you like to see? So a little bit of background on our infrastructure. So Abstract is focusing on application specific, or it's application focused infrastructure. So we provide like a full stack experience in a framework for building application components so that you can take a bunch of modules, put them together, and form advanced applications. We have on-chain smart accounts, which is the basis of every single Abstract application, which is, you know, what enables this thing that we call personalized or self-hosted DeFi. We also have the module registry and the name service for assets, contracts, DEXs, or DeFi pools whatsoever. But the thing that's like most exciting for us right now is we have interchain smart contract accounts that can traverse many, many different chains. And that means that you can have your one account, you have your Abstract account, and you choose what chain that you want to be your home. And so for many of our DeFi users, this is probably going to be Osmosis. Osmosis is connected to everything. Or for the Kujira stands out there, or Kuji stands, it'll probably be Kujira. Or maybe you're a Juno maximalist. And you know, I know Jake is going to have his Abstract account on Juno. And these are going to control all of the accounts across the interchain. And this is why I'm unbelievably excited about IBC connecting to Ethereum, because we're going to open up a whole another ecosystem. So yeah, a little rambled a little bit, but yeah, what are you excited about?
You know, I think that those interchain accounts, like not the standard, but like the ones that you're talking about, kind of similar to what Osmosis previewed at Cosmoverse, like that's a huge first application. And I think that, you know, this idea of like the super app is very much alive in crypto. I think there's been this long discussion around wallets, but practically wallets are not necessarily where the value capture is. You know, it's whoever ends up owning the user experience. Does Ledger own the user experience? No. You know, Kepler owns that user experience, or 42.money or abstract.finance owns the user experience. And I think that there's going to end up being the best teams that do this are going to end up mixing on-chain stuff with front end pieces to offer holistic user experiences that cover the vast majority of crypto. And the sort of quote unquote super app or like DeFi front end or aggregator, or whatever you want to call it, that ends up winning is going to be able to expose the most features to the end users in the most understandable way. And effectively, this replaces bank accounts because those custody points on chain allow you to, in a secure way, hold large quantities of assets and then do stuff with them. You know, like it'd be nicer to be able to more easily go in and out of, say, a money market. You know, you've got some assets sitting. If you've got assets sitting there, you know, they should be productive. And in the traditional banking system, it's kind of sucks to do that. You know, you got to go talk to a financial registered financial advisor. And like every time they make a move, you got to like approve it. And you got to spend a lot of time on the phone. You know, that's not the future of money. You know, the future of money is Abstract offers you this seamless experience that does cash management for you. And there's some kind of insurance fund in case things go wrong in one of these secure things, but you can pick a number of strategies or segment your account across a number of different strategies. And like, you know, that's the future of money. That's the future of banking. And in combination with stuff like Kato and USDC, you'll be able to anchor your entire financial life on chain and then reach out into the traditional financial system easily and take on whatever kind of risk level you're interested in. And I think that that's like, that's the direction of applications. The infrastructure that enables it is this cross-chain infrastructure. But it, fundamentally, at the end of the day, it's a user adoption battle and it's, you know, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I love that you mentioned the super app, right? Like, I didn't realize this is such a hot topic in crypto. I thought it was kind of just, you know.
I don't think it is. I think there's only a few people talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, WeChat and Alipay are unbelievable. You can do everything for your entire life in those apps. And it truly is a super app. And this is something that we've considered a lot when we were building our infrastructure. So you have one account for all of the interchain. And so with this account, you can actually install applications on the account. As a user, it just feels like you're installing applications on your phone or like on your Windows computer or something, which is why our old name, we used to be Abstract OS because we were building an operating system for DeFi and an operating system for the interchain. Yeah. And so we want to really realize this vision of the super app as well, which is why, so you mentioned, you know, people are not going to want their assets to sit idle. And I think this is a great point because, you know, what can you do with your assets? You can put them in the money market. You can provide liquidity. You can use them to trade on like order books. You could do over-the-counter deals. You can, I guess money markets are already lending. But yeah, you could do a lot of things with your applications or with your money. However, all of these are primitives. And that's why we provide the infrastructure for developers to build on top of these. That's like the basis of Abstract. The like the idea is to abstract away all the complexity and make it so when you build an application, you need to use a DEX. You're using just any DEX. You're just using a DEX interface or a money market, using the money market interface. You need to integrate an Oracle into your application. It doesn't matter where that Oracle is coming from. It's the same interface, money market, everything. And as a user, by consequence, this just allows you to use your liquidity in any way that you want. And you can do it across the entire interchain. And, you know, we've felt like we're a little bit of a small fish in a big pond because we're localized in the Cosmos ecosystem. But of course, Abstract is Cosmwasm and IBC, which means that it can expand far beyond and truly eat the interchain.
Yeah. I think that like that feeling is something that is going to go away. You know, oh, we're trapped in the Cosmos ecosystem. I have talked to a lot of founders who have felt this way. You know, there's all these inflationary tokens numbered down bad. Like, this is tough. And I've got a lot of empathy for that. I totally get it. But the fact is as IBC expands, that market gets larger and larger. And it is a process that takes time. But what we've seen is that that's kind of continuing to move forward and gaining momentum. And I think especially as we get into the bull market, IBC over to ETH launches, we get this Avalanche thing done, we've already got Polkadot. Once people see that it's possible, once people see that it's happening, and with the level of activity that's happening in the Cosmos ecosystem with all these new launches, as well as the existing stuff that's there, people are going to want a piece of that market. And that means IBC. And this is why I think that that's kind of inevitable. And yeah, like learning how to win that market before it grows puts you in a great position to go compete with incumbents in other markets.
Jack, I've got a question for you and or Adair. Excuse me. When we're talking about like IBC expansion to other ecosystems, and I think that conversation kind of really revolves around like crypto natives. And I think a lot of the time we're under the assumption that, like, you know, cycle by cycle, the net participant number is going to grow and the net stickiness of those participants is going to grow even through bear markets. But I think there's a lot of crypto natives that kind of show up when they first, like, you know, start smelling a bull market. Like, I'm kind of plugged into Twitter. So I've noticed this trend where people are there. And then right when that first dump off happens, some people are like, hey, I'm out of the markets. I'll see you guys in 2024. Market started coming up, those same accounts started becoming active again. And, you know, I think that when it comes down to adoption and stuff, a lot of those people are speculators, but we've got crypto's first killer use case in stablecoins. And me personally, like I stuck through with crypto because stablecoins are incredibly powerful for me. And like, and I know that globally, that's true for a lot of people who maybe aren't as fortunate as, you know, Americans or other first world countries where, you know, inflation isn't necessarily that big of a problem. What kind of applications would you want to see where, you know, that user stickiness is persistent through bear markets, where people are genuinely finding the value after coming in, maybe during a mania phase, getting involved with the mania and speculation a little bit, but then sticking around long term because there's genuine value being given to their quality of life?
Yeah, I think that, you know, Cosmos has one of those, validators and devs. And we've provided a tremendous amount of utility to developers and validators. We've continued to grow those communities through the bear markets. And I think that, you know, those service providers and infrastructure layer things are kind of boring and shitty, but if you can get that right and build economic incentives that encourage more and more people to keep doing that, and you can do that through a really rough bear market, I think that that's a start on that. As far as consumer applications, I think that what we're talking about around this wallet / super app / whatever you want to call it, Nexus, because, you know, this is a thing that's as old as time. You know, you have the customer relationship, you continue to offer them value, and then you grow the number of users. And like, you know, there's a lot of Web2 tooling that you can use to do that. And this is like, you know, the user experience has not been there for a long time, frankly. You know, the user experiences that we've had over the last few years, not only in Cosmos, but also in ETH. And I think that, you know, ETH has increased their single chain usability quite a bit and mainnet Ethereum is really nice, but A, fees are high. However, their multi-chain UX is years, and I cannot stress this enough, years behind where Cosmos is. When I have conversations with folks in ETH around bridges, you know, they're like, oh, you mean a multi-sig? And all you do is move tokens over it? And that's literally the only thinking they've done on bridges. And they're starting to run into things like fungibility issues. And, you know, bridge hacks have been a huge issue for a long time that they've just been ignoring. And those are going to get worse again in the bull market, because what we've seen during the bear in the ETH ecosystem is a proliferation of insecure bridging technologies. It's user experience is a big piece of that. But that would be for these sort of financial applications. I think that, you know, asking people to move their entire financial lives on chain is something that is scary for most folks and is going to be a long burn. And again, this is one of those things that is cyclical. It moves cycle to cycle. You know, we get this big influx of people. A lot of them leave, but the floor is a lot higher than it was in the last cycle. And like the adoption will likely for these types of applications continue to follow that pattern. I think that as far as other things, you know, institutions, onboarding large financial institutions onto these tools, like that will be resilient across markets. I think people are looking for something in the NFT consumer area, and I don't see it yet. I just did a thing with Vince from Kato this morning, and we were talking about loyalty programs and NFTs, and like that nexus of ideas seems fairly interesting. His thesis is that we're likely to see a consumer brand drive this, where they build natively with this on-chain loyalty program. And then like, think about like a clothing manufacturer or like a clothing brand. You could do it where your sort of rewards thing is natively on chain and you pair that with NFTs and like a community effort and do collaborations with other clothing brands as a way to bring them into your platform for loyalty point stuff. And like that's a bit of a hand wave, but you could see a path there. Like, I don't know, I'm an entrepreneur, I could see how you could hustle your way into a large company there. I mean as far as like where are the applications and where are the users, this is a very hot discussion, but you know, speculation is one of them. Money, banking, like those are all real use cases for this technology. They just take a while. So anyway, that's kind of my thoughts on that. I don't know. What do you guys think are some exciting application
things? Daryl, kick it over to you first.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you on a lot of those points, and especially the ones being like, you know, the user experience hasn't been there. And I'm not sure if the user experience is going to be there this cycle for like the actual interchain experience. Like it seems like there's the applications are just not there. Like in this last bear market, we've focused a lot on infrastructure. We've built up these systems. They're a lot more maintainable. They're a lot more upgradable, and they're a lot more scalable. However, I'm not sure if there's been much work in the way of, you know, user experience and like the actual applications that you need, right? Or maybe that's something that comes in the bull market as excitement brews, because of course account abstraction is a super hot topic. We like to talk about chain abstraction, removing the chains from the user. But yeah, so something that you mentioned was the enterprise being like the biggest consumers of this technology first. And I wholeheartedly agree, because it seems like the general blockchain ecosystem is somewhat similar to the technological advances that we saw in like the 70s or so, with our general purpose blockchains, being like time sharing on these supercomputers.
Yes.
You know, at the time, supercomputers. Yeah. And I
strongly agree with this narrative.
Yes. Okay, cool. I'm not crazy.
I've been chilling this narrative for years at this point. This is like my whole investment thesis on Cosmos.
Okay. Well, I'm interested to hear your thoughts further on this then, because like, I believe like, you know, after this general purpose computing, and the time sharing, we saw like the movement to commercial computing and like businesses. And so I suppose what we need to figure out is, how to bring this technology to enterprise? How do we move away from this narrative that we need users? Because we need applications, And we need like, you know, actual technology behind the scenes, like Web2 companies building on this infrastructure before we get users. As Cosmos, the thing that's pissing me off the most is that we've been obsessed with getting liquidity from EVM, but it's the wrong goal. It's the wrong narrative. So yeah, what do you
strongly agree? I mean, look, I did a startup some where a huge part of the thesis was that we would bring in liquidity from Ethereum. So like, I'm not going to say that like that's just a complete waste of time. Like, yes, winning market share from competitors is important. Ethereum's a competitor. We need to take that seriously. I think it is farcical if we don't do it. However, we are doing it. There's a ton of efforts at that. But if you look at the amount of capital outside of crypto, it dwarfs by many hundreds of times the amount of capital inside crypto. If you look at the amount of people inside crypto, it is dwarfed by many, many times by the number of people outside of crypto. And this is what we cannot forget. It's very early. And like, if you look at the numbers, there's no other conclusion to come to, full stop. So focusing too much on the competitive aspect is dumb. It makes you more like your competitors. And it ignores the largest part of the market. So like what we need to do is build up the tooling to enable us to go after these non-crypto native folks who don't think that 10 seconds for a transaction is acceptable. You know, like these are the types of markets that we need to go after. These are the types of things that we need to do to like really get adoption. I could not agree with you more on that.
Yeah, you know, something that both of you guys touched on and were talking about with the enterprises and stuff. I think we kind of saw a little bit of this last cycle with the whole GameFi gaming narrative where people tried to speed run the whole, you know, bring everyone on chain through gaming. I think that that's a viable option. I also think speed running it is a terrible idea. I think that, you know, something that Adair was just mentioning where he was talking about like, you know, for this bull market, maybe interchain applications aren't really going to be there. The upside and downside, I think, of being a builder, and you guys might be able to speak to this better than I could ever, is that you guys get to build kind of market agnostically, but still kind of understand where the trends are going and understand the ebbs and flows of the macro interests of your consumer bases and kind of build with purpose and direction, right? And maybe yeah, there's pivots here and there. Sure, that'll happen. But sometimes we, when devs kind of get caught up in the mania phase as well and try to kind of, you know, microwave the entire process, things blow up and it leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So, you know, in terms of that enterprise adoption piece, I'm going to broach a subject that's kind of taboo within crypto, which is CBDCs. You know, the adoption of digital assets are happening right now with multiple governments all over the world. So where do we kind of fit in and how do they kind of make it work as well, right? Like account abstraction with what Abstract's doing is very important from the retail side and from the entrepreneurial side where, you know, as these solutions kind of start coming up and becoming a little bit more mature and hardened, we can feasibly see enterprises kind of opting in and forming partnerships and maybe building on Abstract or other similar type solutions in the future. But right now we've got literal nation state money kind of coming after what it is that we're doing. Is there competition there or is there collaboration there? What's going on? What's the take?
I mean, you know, CBDCs. I think a big part of the reason why I got into this is because the US government is like massively fucked up. And I, as an American citizen, don't really see a lot of opportunity to reform that government except through sort of forcing functions. And reforming money is a huge forcing function. What crypto is if you look across all of the different chains, is fundamentally an effort to rebuild the existing monetary system in a better way on top of decentralized foundations. And this is kind of why I'm here. Now, how do CBDCs fit into that? You know, those CBDCs will interoperate with the rest of this ecosystem. And what we see is that most of the value is not in the moneyness. You know, the moneyness is already being taken over by the existing power structure. Like, yes, there's Bitcoin. Yes, there's non-nation state formats of moneyness. But, you know, stable coins, we talk a lot about stable coins. And I've, you know, been working with Circle, which is kind of the proto US CBDC in a lot of ways. I think, you know, the more of the value is going to be in the applications built on top of this digital money, using AI agents to help do asset allocation via smart accounts, offering a, you know, a bank account that competes with what Goldman Sachs offers to high net worth individuals. But instead of doing that in a like white glove kind of way, you're doing it using technology and broadening the group of people who can take advantage of that. And, you know, small d, democratizing that as much as possible. And I don't really honestly think CBDCs will make a big difference on that, I guess, is kind of my thought. So like CBDCs will be another source of capital inflow that will be restricted, as are, frankly, all forms of capital inflow into crypto. You know, there are these choke points. The government has them. We need to recognize that. But the fact is that once that money comes in, it will be beneficial to the existing ecosystem. You know, do CBDCs sort of line up with what we think about in terms of the values of this industry? I think absolutely not. You know, this is why I work on stuff like Penumbra and IBC, which I think are, you know, fundamentally disruptive technologies to that world.
Certainly. And I suppose maybe the focus is not necessarily on CBDCs, but like at least nations and places around the world where there's a lot more regulatory clarity on the subject, because those are going to be the places where we actually see innovation happening, because there's clarity around it. There's clarity around what you can and shouldn't do. And of course, like there's going to be companies and people hacking on things all the time, and like hacking on things that they shouldn't, but like I think innovation is moving out of the states and more towards countries that have this regulatory clarity. And I think that's where the states is really screwing up on this whole thing.
Adair, you're not an American, are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm from Los Angeles.
You're from LA.
Do I not sound like I'm from LA? I mean,
you sound like you could be South African, and I never asked you that before. So anyway, sorry. Yeah, it's really sad, man. And like, I'm an American. I've said this a lot, and like, I do firmly believe it. Like, I think that there is important stuff worth fighting for here, which is why I will continue to stay in America. But I think this country's fucked up, and like the way that they're treating crypto sucks, you know. And like, it's easy to say that, but the reality of the situation is my tax burden is many times that of folks who are not inside the US, and I have to compete with those people every fucking day. And that sucks.
Could just move to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, gotta talk my wife into that one.
I mean, they have real big lizards there. Not yeah. Stuck with the humanoid forms.
Yes, they do. Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see sort of how this plays out. I have a lot of hope that the US will get its shit together.
Yeah, well, they will. Once there's some other countries and like they're building cooler stuff than the US, it's gonna whip up into shape real quick. Yeah. So like what we've been thinking a lot about lately is what kind of interchain applications would be good in these coming few years? Like, given this narrative that we've been talking about like, you know, enterprise or commercial applications being much more prevalent, and like probably, you know, inter-business agreements being one of those big use cases, because like these enterprises, they're not going to want to use Juno. They're not going to want to use Archway, or, you know, they're going to want to have their own.
They're not going to want to use Ethereum.
Like, no, no.
Clear. Yeah, it's a platform risk issue.
It's a platform risk issue. They're going to want to self-host everything. It's like why all these companies have their own data servers. It's why, like, I mean, also, I'm very much appreciative of the move away from the cloud again. Like, it's funny, everything moved to the cloud, and now it seems like, you know, companies are seeing the risks in that with the Cloudflare and the AWS outages, and they're bringing it more on their own servers again. But, you know, it's beside the point. What are businesses going to need? What are companies going to need to interact with other companies, you know, maybe over IBC, making those interchain agreements? What are some other applications that you see becoming relevant and valuable and value capturing? You know, because that's a question for the whole ecosystem. Like,
extremely important. You know, this B2B stuff is huge. I think that by the nature of B2B, those are kind of longer sales cycles. It is much harder to build a business that's going to take that entire market. You know, this entire world of like B2B financial transfers, like, think about how many companies within the existing financial system occupy that space. It's a massive, massive market right now. So I think that if, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, that's a really easy market to go after. You know, it's, you might have some experience in the enterprise, you might have some connections, you can go sell into that market and build yourself a business there. So like, That's definitely one category of them. But like, I posted a tweet in the space. Funny, David, my partner at Galileo, was tweeting about this super app thing in regards to Noble just a few minutes ago. But I do think that that's where the real juice is, because it's much easier to do a B2C type play where you're reaching a ton of customers via socials and, you know, sort of traditional online advertising. I think that in order to do that, you know, you've got to do it the typical Silicon Valley ship and iterate style. You have to start small. You have to start in a more bounded way and grow outwards. So starting with, say, like interchain lending or interchain DEXs, and like thinking about how you roll these smart accounts out and being smart about those features will help that growth. Because I think that if you give users too much stuff at first, they're scared and they don't know what to do and they're confused. But if you give them a very concrete call to action, put your money here, do X with it, easy. Then you get them in and then you can cross sell them on other stuff. So like that, I guess that's my thoughts on the interchain applications. And again, these interchain applications, part of them are going to exist in JavaScript and in the web, and part of them are going to exist on chain. And I think figuring out what that mix is going to be the sort of critical part of the next couple of years.
Certainly, certainly. And I love interchain lending. It's a great interchain application.
It's great. You know, if you can like give people a place to hold their stables and offer them like transparent yield on it, that's like nothing crazy, but then gives them other utility to enter other DeFi products and trade easily, like that's the basis of a bank. And that goes directly after that use case.
Do you feel that we have to make the experience feel more bank-like? Because like something that I've always disliked about crypto is it feels like crypto. I don't want to feel like I'm doing some like techie cyberpunk little thing, you know, when I'm showing it to my sister, because she's like, this looks so lame. Like
we need to make it more like TikTok. unless like
TikTok. So I'm going to scroll through videos of like, you know, posted by my friends, like send them stable coins or what?
But think about Twitter, you know, or any of these other social media apps. Like the things that are exciting are not like traditional banking software. It is these sort of Web 2 apps that people fucking love. And like, what do they offer? Very clean, very simple, very easy to use. And neobanks are going for this, but like those neobanks are still hampered by the traditional banking system. And that's where we have a chance to really leapfrog those folks. So like taking some lessons from the neobanks, yes, but I think that we as an industry have an opportunity to build our own user experience that's fundamentally better than traditional banking because we're thinking about it differently.
Definitely. And more interoperably, which is, it's just,
God, this cool. is one of the most fire alpha filled spaces I've done in a long time. And there's 9 people here, which is amazing. Yeah. Anyway, sorry,
bro. I'm like taking notes right now. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Also, what I'm hearing is Adair, you got to start dancing for stablecoins. Let's do some TikTok stuff. No, I'm kidding. we are absolutely not doing that. But yeah, no, the excitement factor I think is important as well. I think there's been a lot of, when I talk to people, whether they're VCs, whether they're builders or whatever else, especially maybe this was bear market blues a little bit, but that excitement factor usually comes down to, having something that kind of hits that gambler's little bit in the back of your brain, you know, like everybody has it, right? It's that dopamine receptor that just kind of makes you feel good. And it's got a little bit of that addictive quality. I think that when we kind of look at a lot of traditional Web 2 apps, and I say traditional very loosely because I mean more modern Web 2 apps, they focus on screen time. Whereas I think a lot of what we do in crypto is more about like set it and forget it. We focus a lot on automation. Is there a way to bridge that? Is like finance? It's very rare for finance to be sexy unless number gets bigger, right? So like in terms of other things that we can do in crypto right now, that's not just reinventing the modern Web 2 app wheel. I don't see a real necessary value in like, you know, something like TikTok existing on chain or maybe having some component on chain, marketplaces, shopping, whatever else it is that can happen there. But what, like specifically, what would you want to ideally see? And we can get as, pie in the sky as we want about this.
Yeah. I mean, this super app thing, I think would be amazing. Like I would love to move my entire financial life on chain. I think that, because of the structure of the existing banking system that entirely relies on intermediaries, it is fundamentally user hostile, and it's incredibly difficult to manage assets across many different institutions, many different asset managers, etc. Being able to control all of those assets yourself, rely on smart contracts as well as things like asset managers, like that's something I really want. And like, this is the nexus of stuff that I've continued to work at. It's like why I worked on native USDC. It's why I've worked on IBC. It's why I've like done all of the work for the last few years that I've done is because I want to see that reality. And that requires all these DeFi primitives. It requires the ability to wire them together and then offer that in a compelling way to end users. And I think there's still another decade of work to do there to really get it there. So yeah, I mean, like that's the one that I'm most passionate about. That's like why I built Som too. You look at Som, like what is Som? Som is I'm so spaced right now. Som's an asset manager and it's meant to do automation and allow users to enter these complex DeFi positions without having to think too much about it. And without having to do all of this, like, you know, fucking, frankly, ledger maintenance, like clicking buttons a bunch of times a day to trade those assets. Like, that's fucking robot work. And, like, we should let the robots do it.
We should let the robots do it, and we need more robots doing it. We need more, like, yeah. I want to be able to put $1,000 in something and then have an AI that is governed by smart contracts. So it could only do limited actions. And this is like the cool thing about CAL abstraction, right? Is you can set, you know, limits on what the AI can do. And so why don't we just let it play with $1,000? I would do that. It would be entertaining. And like, yeah, you have like little, totally, little competitions with your friends. Like, you know,
if I had 10 AIs that I could kick a G at each, I'd totally do that.
Yeah, dude. Kawhi.
Yeah. I think, you know, that is like, that's what we're enabling here. And like, if you have in all of that, the data that they've done, like, you know, that's all on chain. We can analyze that. We can rank these different autonomous agents. We can have an autonomous agent that like watches their rankings and moves your assets accordingly. Like, you know, this is the future that we're moving to. And like, utilizing computers to enable true abundance for as many people as we can, like, that's the fucking goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you just said, it plays, it's reputation. It's like these AIs, they have reputation that they have to upkeep. And I think that something that's fascinating is the fact that if you're working with ChatGPT and it's not being a good boy, it's you can tell it's not being good, but it's not going to do anything about it unless you give it an incentive. If you say at the beginning of your conversation, like, I'm going to give you 10 tokens, okay? And every time that you do something good, I'll give you one more token. If you do something bad, I'm taking away 2. And the cool thing about this, there's like a couple of research papers on it. It performs better. It performs better when there's like a little mechanism under this to incentivize it to be good. And this is what, like, you know, Web3 enables, is like a reputation enables incentive systems that align the incentives between multiple parties. And that's like, I think the whole point of smart contracts is to govern AI, be kind of like iRobot, like the 3 laws of robotics, except all of it is smart contracts, because an AI is only dangerous if it can do things that are dangerous.
Yep. And like, this is, I think, you know, I've called this, and I've heard this called before, and so this is not an original Jack thought, the cardinal sin of the internet. You know, what is the cardinal sin of the internet? We didn't include money in it, and it led to a world in which we pushed off responsibility to a bunch of unaccountable entities like ISPs in the government, and we've given up a ton of freedom. How do we regain that freedom back? We retain control. We regain control of the money, and with the money, we will be able to exert our influence. And the way that we do that as individuals is going to increasingly be mediated via AIs and other computers. And like, you know, I think that that's incredibly critical.
Being able to say, hey, ChatGPT, help me save for my anniversary gift is incredibly attractive. And that's a very sexy application. We're just a little bit past an hour. Just wanted to open it up to anyone else who's here. If you guys want to, you know, ask any questions to either Jack or Adair about Abstract, Strangelove, anything else that they're working on, anything that we've talked about here. Again, one of the most alpha-filled spaces of all time. Jesus Christ. But yeah, come through.
I mean, ask, you know, I love talking about this sort of like high-level idea of where the space is going. And I end up getting dragged into conversations about L2s and, you know, multi-sig bridges and whether or not ETH consensus is a good idea and like how sexy Solana is. And, you know, it's not very often I get to just like sit down and talk about like where this is going to go. And like, I think that's key. Shout out Cito.
Oh, what's up, Cito?
Right.
Adair, anything to tack on to what Jack was talking about? other than, you know, you guys are planning to have Skynet be unleashed on chain and rob us of all our money?
No robbing. It only if a smart contract allows it, which is just a bug done by humans. And the cool thing is that, like, let's say that the AI did do something horrible. Like, you can just fork the chain. It's like, it's the whole thing with decentralization. It's social consensus. It's run by social consensus. And it's the argument against why, like, you know, the US government can't, like, go take over Bitcoin, because social consensus would go fork the chain and undo their damage. So I'm excited. I am so excited for the future. And I think that's beside the trend that we've been seeing in the world.
Yeah. Adair is so stoked for the future. He's just said, fuck it, I'm going to go build it.
We're building it together, Jack. And that's what I want Cosmos to do. I want us to actually build the future together. We are not collaborating. We've been talking about, like, this collaboration for years, but Cosmos, the application thesis, it makes people build in silos because there's no, like, shared protocol or shared interface to build upon. And that's what Abstract aims to be. It aims to be, like, the shared thing that we can all build upon and collaborate, build a culture. I love Cosmosm. I love Cosmos. Love Strange Love. And I'm excited for Cosmos' future. So
cheers. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, that's a good place to call it.
Yes, sir. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This space is recorded. So if you joined in a little bit late, again, so much alpha throughout this entire thing. Give it a re-listen. Drop Abstract a follow. Drop Strangelove a follow. Throw us a like. Sorry, I'm shilling. Pleasure for everyone showing up. It's the job, man. I got to do it. Pleasure for everyone showing up. Right. We will be back here again Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, same time. Going to run it for about an hour. Anyone who wants to come through, more than welcome to. Hopefully, we have a special guest next week as well. Excited. Thanks for everyone showing up. Cheers. Awesome. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Cheers. Thanks, everyone.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked in non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape him under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.